Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome back, everybody, to the third segment of the Intellectual Property Series on the Play Big Movement podcast. And this series I've been doing with my one and only, my collector, husband of 38 years, and actually my confidant when it comes to intellectual property and recognized internationally as an expert. And it is unbelievably important for you to understand the arena of intellectual property. It is what's leveled the playing field for small companies against big companies. And we've talked about creating it. We've talked about protecting it in segment two. And today we're talking about leveraging it, how you make money. And so you don't have to build a big company yourself. But if you come up with an idea to solve a problem or you know, serve a need, so, and you have the opportunity to protect that solution, you can have a way to make a lot of money and have another using other people's money and other people's time.
So
that's what he's going to talk about.
What we're talking about is leveraging your intellectual property into using other people's money, other people's resources. Now, if you think of when you're starting a company, okay, people will say you need money to make money. Well, you don't need your money to make money. Okay, think of the entity as separate from yourself, and think of your investors as yet a third party. Okay. You're making a contribution to the entity. It could be money. It could be sweat, your efforts. It could be facilities. Or it could be intellectual property, an idea. Now, the more protected that is, the more value it has, the more value you're giving the company. Now, your investor, your partner, if you will, your co-venturer, I shouldn't use the term partner, is also making a contribution to the entity. It could be money, it could be facilities, it could be sweat, it could be intellectual property. From your perspective, you want it to be the money that you need. So you're using their money, the investor's money, to build the company. Your contribution is the intellectual property.
Now, from a business perspective, let me jump in here and say, when you have something new and novel, and we talk about the power of collaboration, think about the fact that when we did the Talking Book Company, did we want to take the time to build by printing presses and print the books? And we didn't want to do that. So we wanted to partner. We went into a joint venture with a printing company so that we could get the use of their resources, their people, their time, their money, and then we could together create the end products. Every aspect of that had a different level of whether it was intellectual property or contractual arrangement, but it's important because it allowed us, in that term, speed to market. Now, in a prior segment, we talked about people who didn't protect their intellectual property, thinking that they could have that competitive advantage by being fast to market. And that's definitely a problem because big guys are faster than you are. But when you collaborate and you can find a co-venturer who has, and you have the ability to use their presence in a market, their expertise, their facilities, that allows you to get bigger quicker.
Okay, now let me just jump in. The difference between co-venturing and just paying for their services is that you're paying for them in something other than money. It could be a profit interest. They would get a piece of the action. It could be equity in your company. It's some sort of consideration.
In this segment that we're talking today on leveraging intellectual property, this whole three-part series is how you play big. You play big by understanding the tools that allow you to protect your intellectual property, the ability to create it, but most importantly, how to leverage it in a very big way and find those powerful associations.
So again, going back to making a contribution to this business entity, if you haven't protected that intellectual property, it's just not worth much. Now, typically there's a balance between contributions and consideration, a quid pro quo. If you're going to put in 50% of the value, you're going to get 50% of the equity. Now, that's not necessarily the case, but as a rule of thumb, it's a pro rata. Mm-hmm. Now, if your intellectual property hasn't been tested, hasn't been protected, it's not worth as much as it would be if it had been tested, protected, and so forth. So the further along you are in the development, the more it's worth, the more equity you're going to get in the entity. Now, so you have a going business, okay, and you've solved the problem. Now, that problem may be encountered by your direct competitors. You may not want to give them the solution. You may not want to license the solution. It's worth more to you as a competitive advantage. Okay, but that same problem might occur in a non-competitive industry. You know, you're in a particular niche. You don't sell outside of that niche. Somebody that's selling outside of that niche doesn't affect your core business. You could license them to use your solution to the problem, have them pay you, and it's just another stream of income.
We talked about this with the company we were looking at, and it was making alternators. And so we were looking at utilizing it within the truck industry. Well, separate and apart was a whole bus industry. So you had different players and different avenues to where you could go to be able to facilitate utilizing that technology.
Yeah. So, and when you're able to identify different channels of trade or different markets, you want to look for the best of breed in those markets, the biggest player, the people that can use your technology to the best effect, and you license them, and you might want to give them an exclusive license in that particular area.
So for instance, when we talk about this, we're talking about, you know, our Rich Dad company. We had a growing company, but as we went into different markets, we looked for the partner that we could joint venture with. So for instance, infomercials, I didn't want to have my own call center. It was such a large endeavor I said, I want to have the highest quality. So we joint ventured with Time Life so that we could work together to create that. Now, that's when you're talking about having a business and then co-venturing. But let's talk about somebody who wants to be just kind of like the Skunkworks, create the creative side, and they're looking to license what they're creating to another company to run with it. Talk about licensing a little bit.
Well, licensing basically is a contractual agreement that permits someone to use your intellectual property. Now, again, you have to have intellectual properties protection in place in order to make something truly licensable. Now, it could be a trade secret, and very often trade secrets are licensed, but you have to have the right types of confidentiality provisions in place to keep things a trade secret. Very often, there'll be a number of different types of intellectual property that you would license, and you can, it's all part of a strategy. For example, let's say you have a technology. You also have a trademark that you're using with that technology. You have a very specific market that you deal in. That's your core business. The big company is in a different market. You license them to use your technology, but you insist in the agreement that they also use your trademark with that technology so that you get the benefit of the goodwill that's generated, the good reputation from that use of that technology. So you're building your trademark, you're building your business through their efforts, and they're paying you to do it.
And as another part of that you're always insistent on, which is very important, is that if new intellectual property is created within that joint venture, you need to have an agreement as to who owns that intellectual property.
That's for sure. You need to right off of the bat agree who's going to own what. Now, if it's something that would not have come about but for what you're licensing, you've got a pretty good argument that you should retain ownership of any new developments. If it's a joint venture and you're both equally putting in, it may be that you would each have rights to new developments.
And understand, again, I'm going to come back to this, and this isn't Mike talking, it's me, is making sure you have the right legal counsel to support you, because licensing is kind of a creation of its own, and you need to make sure you have somebody who's experienced and understands, because now you have two players or more coming together for this joint venture or new company. You need to understand the rights. You need to understand if it falls apart, you know, what court, what jurisdiction are you in, all those things. And it's a messy thing if it falls apart. So you want to make sure it's set up correctly up front. And it's something that we've made millions of dollars because we've set up licensing arrangements, and we've done it so that it's a win-win-win. And that's what you want. You want licensing is an opportunity for everybody to win.
Yep. You're using their resources. In effect, they're also using yours. So it is a win-win. You don't reinvent the wheel.
And a win for the customers. That's why I say it's a win-win-win.
Yep. The agreement needs to be as extensive as you can make it. Very often I'll get somebody that says, I want a short agreement. I want it really simple. I want a
one-pager.
One-pager.
You've heard that from me a few times.
And there's a real problem with that. I mean, it's great in the sense that it's simple and easy to agree to, but it leaves room for all sorts of problems down the line. You really want to try to anticipate all of the problems and solve them beforehand while everybody's still friendly and cooperative.
Now, this is a huge area, and as I said, these three segments we've just talked about in this three podcast is a huge area of the law, and it is how you play big. I've said that before. I'll say it again, and it's so important because we are the experts. We are the authorities when it comes to both the business aspect and the legal aspect, and that's why if you want to drill deeper in this, please go to and look at our online course, Essential Components of a Successful Business.
You know, your licensing strategy should be part of your business strategy. So let's say that you know it's going to take you 10 years to get into a particular marketplace. Just because of your capital plan, you know that you're not going to be able to get into this remote market for 10 years. Well, why not license somebody else to operate strictly in that market and only until you're ready to move into it? So the term of the agreement that you negotiate with them is 10 years. At the end of the license, you're ready to come in. And if you had them using your trademarks, they've already plowed the field for you, made the market.
And do your due diligence, because I'll tell you, we made a mistake along the way early on where we had, this part wasn't a mistake. We kept the international translation rights to the books that when we were doing books, so that we had the opportunity to do that independent of the publishing house. But, and I know what you want to say, just hold it. And we issued French rights to a company that had French worldwide rights, and they were in Canada. And we didn't realize, we didn't do our homework, we didn't ask the right questions. They didn't have established distribution in France. So it was like, what, we shot ourselves in the foot. So we had to get them to release it so that we could find somebody in France who could help us distribute the book in French. That was something that we learned early on. And so it's important to do your due diligence and ask the right questions.
You absolutely have to do that due diligence. And there may be different aspects and different markets to your intellectual property. When we're talking publishing, you know, there's publishing books, there's electronic books, there's audio books, there's ancillary rights, foreign translations. Now, if you were to license one company to do all of that stuff, they might not be good at most of it. They might be great at printing books in English and have no real experience in any of the other things. So license them to print the books. License somebody else that does the electronic books to do the electronic books. License somebody else that does the translation in the areas where they have
Which is one of the reasons we were able to grow so quickly, because we kept those rights and we focused on making sure that not only were those rights granted, but they were managed and they were, you know, we made sure the quality control was there. So it's something
that's accountability.
Important. Yeah. It's important for you to understand that when you're building your business, even though you've got other people out there that you're licensing to, you still have to hold tight the quality control of your brand and your trademarks. And that is through those agreements on how you establish that accountability and the reporting process, the communication process with those companies that you're working with.
Now, if it is a pure technology license and there are no trademarks involved, the quality control becomes a little less important because it doesn't come tie back to you. But accountability remains important. You never want to give any sort of exclusivity unless there are milestones that have to be met. Minimum sales.
Did you hear that? Okay. Milestones. So if you've given somebody exclusivity, you've also built in fail safes so that if they don't meet those milestones, you have the ability to claw back that exclusivity. Very important.
Yeah. And even if you think that you would be satisfied with a certain number of sales, your mind today is in today's market. It may be that the number that you're satisfied with now, 5 or 10 years from now, is nowhere near adequate. And if the minimum sale is that, you may be stuck. So you want to try to build in other forms of accountability as well.
So a lot of you may be confused. We've covered a lot. We've talked about a lot in these three segments, and particularly today, because today, you know, the leveraging intellectual mm-hmm. property is absolutely the secret sauce on how to establish long-term wealth, generational wealth. And it's important to understand. That's why it's important to have mentors. We have our Master Mentor Program, where we help people through building those companies, making sure they understand they're getting the guidance that we have from years and years and years, too many years that I want to actually admit of experience.
Making, you're still a baby.
Making mistakes and great successes. And so we have a great joy in helping other people build their businesses. If you want more information about our Master Mentor Program, just email me at info@SharonLechter.com. But as if you want to drill down into the more into these topics, do check out Essential Components of a Successful Business. It's an online program. You can work through it at your own pace, but you have access to us through the private Facebook page that where you can drill deeper into each one of these areas we've just been talking about. And that's, you know, if you want a small company, no, you want to have the biggest company possible. And that means creating that foundation and being able to understand how to leverage that intellectual property to give you the greatest results. And so please, if you're confused, because we've covered a lot, that's okay, we understand that. Understand that we wanted to pique your curiosity and give you some new terminology and questions to ask so that you can understand to seek the right counsel to help you. Obviously, you know, this stuff is like automatic to him. And it's something that allows us to be able to identify opportunities for people that you may not have identified for yourself.
Yeah, there are undoubtedly things in your business that give you an advantage that other people would want to use. And if you can, again, establish your rights to those and license somebody in a field that's not going to affect your core business, that's just pure money.
And many times somebody will make an appointment, come see us, and We can help them within just a short amount of time, identify things that they need to do, things that they need to look further. And sometimes we say, you know, we're not going to take your money. You know, you're not ready yet. You know, let's you need to go do this, 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 and this to be able to pull together the information and to be able to get your company to the point where we can really help you. And that's, I think that's an important piece of any mentor, to make sure that, you know, we don't want to take your money. We want to support you in creating the greatest success that you deserve. And if you're not ready for us, then we're going to tell you that, because it's important for you. We want you to succeed. We don't want you to just be spinning your wheel. And so many people do just spin their wheels for years and years. And so this series was created for the podcast just to introduce you to the subject of identifying your intellectual property, various ways to protect it, that toolbox of mechanisms, and then, of course, how to leverage it. And if they get more complicated with each one. But what's so much fun, you've heard me talk about my favorite word is asset. Well, my second favorite word is royalties, because of the licensing of that intellectual property. And my third favorite word is leverage. So we've covered all three of those today. And so please take time to listen back through these three podcasts and chart your course. Make sure you reach out and find somebody that can really support you and help you. And help me thank this wonderful man for giving his time today.
My pleasure, and the best to you all.
And we're going to probably come up with some few other concepts that we can do together to continue sharing information with you. So until next time, thank you so much for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast, and go out there and make some money. Take care. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much, and have a fabulous day.